Jessica.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what Dungeons & Dragons is or what it's about? Or did you ever play it or any role-playing games?
No.
No.
We considered that a boy game.
A boy game.
And I had three sisters, and our games were more role-playing, where it was a house, right?
Mm-hmm. Playing
and
house.
Playing house, and nobody wanted to be the parent. The story was always that we were orphaned. And that we
Who
would...
Who did the cleaning?
Nobody had to clean. So we would set up this intricate house with sticks. Wow. No, Dungeons and Dragons, sorry.
Wow. Were you guys, no, that's okay. Were you guys solving crimes or anything?
No, we were just... always sad and able to use baby talk really well because everybody wanted to be the infant.
Not terribly different from Dungeons and Dragons. There are some issues that will bring it up.
I believe that your sisters and you playing the house was a role-playing game.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So you are just as familiar with this concept as anybody else.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, as long as I don't have to be a parent.
Just maybe not.
No. So, section one of our character sheet is the motto. We're going to have you roll a four-sided die, which is the pyramid-looking thing. That's at the top will be your number. And then we will talk about what you will do with that number.
Okay.
While she rolls, may I mention for the audience at home, if you hear a strange roaring sound, there is a snoring dog underneath the table who plainly is digging on this because he is out like a light.
So now what we're going to ask you to do is come up with a motto, and you can use up to 5 words for that motto.
4 plus 1.
And it doesn't have to be 5, it could be 1 or 2. Up to 5 words for your motto. We're going to do a quick intro and then come back to you to hear what your motto is. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Artist Rolls, a new perspective on creators and creating. I'm Sean Mitchell.
Hi, I'm Jamie Gower. And with us today is letterpress artist and book artist Jessica Spring. And we're coming to you today from her palatial studio in beautiful Tacoma. Surrounded by print equipment, typefaces, and her own work. So thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for coming.
Great. And there's a nice smell, too. What is that?
It's probably ink mixed with dog hair.
Ink and dog hair.
Yeah.
Ink and dog hair.
It's not unpleasant, actually.
No, it really is. Very nice.
All right. So you rolled a 4. We were giving you up to 5 words for your motto. Tell us what your motto is.
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean, which is what we're going to try to do in this interview. How does that play into your life?
I think it's slightly sarcastic because I kind of have a foul mouth, but it also describes the necessity in a letterpress studio of kind of keeping stuff clean so you can find things and print neatly and not leave fingerprints on your paper and... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've got like I can see an entire wall dominated by flat files, and it in turn is surrounded by smaller cabinets, also flat files full of type.
So what's the ratio of how long it takes to put a page together versus how long it takes to tear it down?
It's like I tell students, it's kind of like house painting. It's 90% prep, and you finally get to print and it's super exciting and over super quickly. Yeah, that's a heartbreak.
And then you have to clean up.
Yeah, yeah.
just like house painting. Yeah.
But the cleanup part, the beautiful part about letterpress is there are little containers and spaces for everything. It all has a place to go. Mm. So that's what I love about it.
The part of me that loves organizing stuff, I'm just going, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a place for something and it goes in this place. Yes.
Yep.
Before we move on, I'm wondering if we should explain what letterpress is. What is letterpress?
So it falls under printmaking as a type of relief. It's a category, relief printing, where you are printing from a raised surface. So that could be type made of metal, actually lead, tin, and antimony is the amalgam. or it could be wood, it could be linoleum, it could be
potatoes,
right? Anything that is 0.918 inches high can be printed in our presses. If I ever got a tattoo, that's it. That's going to be it.
We're going to move on to section two of the character sheet. That is the rolls roll. We're going to ask you to take those two dice right there and give it a roll. And that is a 16. And what we're going to ask you to do is divide those 16 points among the five roles you see there. Studio artist, performer, writer, director, producer.
Oh, this is hard. 2, 1, 2, 4, 6, 7.
Can you walk us through, the numbers that you did and a little bit on why?
Yeah, and I'll probably want to change my mind after I describe them. But
sure.
Studio artist, I mean, when it comes down to it, I'm here making my own work and having to produce it.
We're literally talking to you in a studio.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Performer, I guess I gave myself 1 point on that just because sometimes I have to give talks about the work I do, or as a teacher, you sort of have a performative aspect of it. And writer, I make artist books, so I definitely try and write some of the content. Director, I work with collaborators, so I would say I give direction and take direction as part of that. And producer, I think that's part of the collaborative aspect too. Yeah, I think those are really fluid.
How do you mean fluid?
On any given day or week, that can change. I could be doing a lot of collaborating, or I'll have a week where I'm just nose to the grindstone working towards a deadline and trying not to see people, really focusing.
Cool, that makes sense.
And how much of the time, so you said there's a lot of prep work in creating that the piece to be printed. Do you also have time when you're just doing conceptual things, you're sort of out of this studio, or you're in the studio sort of with your conceptual time?
I would say there might be research time where I've kind of got an idea and I'm thinking it through, but it's so strange how the ideas come in the most bizarre places, you know. And I'm sure you've heard that from other people, like you're in the shower, you're in the yoga class, which I guess you're not supposed to be thinking about that stuff, and it totally comes, and I'm like, that was so worth $10. You know what I mean? And why would you shut that down?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, for some people, the act of creation is part of where that inspiration comes. So, I mean, is it having the physical, the pieces of metal in your hand, where all of a sudden you're in there going, oh, this is a neat thing that I'm doing here, or whether you bring the full plan to the metal?
I think that's a great question, and I do think about it a lot, because I know there are a lot of artists who are like, I'm just going to play today. And I kind of cringe at that, one, because it's really hard work. Sometimes in here it's physically hard work, and tedious, and I think that's sort of ironic. It rankles me because my work is described as playful, but it's like really hard work to make it look playful.
Yeah.
So, I guess the stick-to-itiveness to really follow something through to the end. And with a lot of work that I do, both in printmaking and with the bookbinding part of it, you have accumulating potential failure. There's probably a better word for it, but like the more work you put into it and get it closer to completion, the grander the F-bomb can happen, you know?
I'm just trying to understand, because it seems like the more work you've done, the more it's completed, and you're like, okay, well, this isn't going to go bad on me because I've got it done and I like it. And so I'm going to move on to the next part of it.
So say you're doing a print and you've got five or six colors. And okay. So four colors are on, it's looking killer. And then you pick that taupe color and it sinks the whole damn thing.
Okay.
So not only to go back and rebuild that all from the beginning is going to be tough. Now, if you're auditioning, right, you could say, I'm going to change that taupe. But even sometimes you'll come back the next morning and be like, what the hell was I thinking yesterday? I just printed this whole edition. It looks like awful.
What do you do? What's your way of dealing with it? I mean, Kate, do you start work on it right away? Do you have to go away and come back?
I have seriously found, and I will counsel students on this, there's certain days when it's just going south and the more you do it, the more you make it worse. And you just have to stop. You just have to say, I am packing it in today. This is not going to work.
This is what the energy is today.
And it's just experience that says it's okay to say that and to say today is not the day to be doing this. Switch gears. And that took me a long time to stop fighting it.
We're going to move on to section three, character sheet, which is the medium's role. Go ahead and take those two dice again.
Is this the last time I rolled a dice?
Nope. You get another time to roll the dice.
Okay.
And that's a six. All right. So now you have 6 points to divide among the five mediums there, live, video, audio, physical, and print web. This is where your work is typically consumed.
You know, I went to the grad school program I went to was you had a performance aspect to get the MFA. It was horrid. So I took puppetry.
Nice.
Because at least I could hide behind a curtain. But oh my gosh.
That sounds like I gotta admit, that sounds like a terrible thing to do to a studio
and
artist.
They never made the students who were pursuing the performance degrees, they never had to come and make books.
Ooh,
I'm like, that's bullshit.
Make some ceramic or something.
Yeah. Hello.
Create a thing.
Because they would be floundering.
I'm going to go back to potatoes.
You guys and your potatoes. Okay.
Can I just say, I have to say it, and I'm derailing things, but your dog snores like the TARDIS. It's like I keep expecting a miniature Doctor Who to appear. So, okay. That's my non sequitur.
All right, Jamie. All right,
it's driving me crazy.
We are nerds.
I'm just totally putting six here. I don't.
Six
awesome.
On. Okay.
Done. Because it says print.
Yeah. So you've got a series of cards here that are the letters of the alphabet. And they're all done in very, very different styles.
These are actually from Tipo Teca Italiana. I did not make them. Most of the work in here I did not make because I don't like looking at my own work.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you, this is all inspirational type stuff.
And you have Prince Albert in a can.
So can I tell you the story about that?
Please, I want to hear the story.
So I had this show at Tacoma's old post office of my dad's bizarre collections. He collected matchbook covers and milk bottle caps when he was a kid, among many, many, many other things. So our old post office in Tacoma is so, so cool. So I kind of created this mini museum of my dad's stuff and then my own ephemera, cigarette cards and postcards. And so the janitor of the building was fascinated with this and kept watching me do the installation, which took forever, days and days. And he, at the end of it, came up to me and he said, I have something. I found this in the building for you. Or I found it in the building and I think you might like it. And he reveals Prince Albert in a can. Now, this guy is a Russian immigrant and completely does not know the Prince Albert Nickian joke. And I'm trying to explain it to him, and he keeps looking at me vacantly, and I'm like trying to explain why it's so funny, and he does not get it. But
I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've ever seen an actual
Prince Albert can. Yeah. It's on my Instagram. You should let him out.
All right, we've reached the halfway point of the artist roles. We'll be back in a minute.
We gotta go find out if your refrigerator's running.
Ah! With Jessica's brain. So here we are in beautiful Tacoma with a snoring dog under the table.
Yep.
And we want to encourage you to listen to the artist roles. You can find us at theartistrolls.com, on Twitter, @theartistrolls,
yes,
and on Facebook. Like us, follow us, do all that kind of crazy stuff.
You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the second half of The Artist Rolls. We're here with Jessica Spring, and we're moving on to section 4 of the character sheet, which is style.
Style.
Now, just in a role-playing game, there's usually one of these sorts of things. So, this sort of similar thing, spontaneous, prepared to spontaneous, collaborative to solo.
So I should just draw right now?
Yes.
Yeah,
whatever you feel.
I'm gonna make a new word.
Okay.
B-O-L-D. Ooh. It's not very pretty.
So you've taken letters from each of the 4 words and created bold and put a little cloud around it. What is...
I think it's a flower.
Flower.
Or an explosion.
An explosion. Okay.
Okay.
So what does this say for us? I'm not entirely sure.
What does it say?
Yeah.
It says that you tried to make some rules for me to follow, and I was trying to get around them just to be a sneaky Pete.
Okay, we'll make it difficult right back. What does it mean?
What does bold mean?
Yeah.
It means to take some chances. So maybe it's by collaborating, maybe it's by being spontaneous, by taking some risks, by doing work that might be challenging.
Huh. What does that mean for you?
Or challenging myself with trying to do too much.
Which of those things is most challenging for you? Is it challenging for you to
being
work with
prepared.
Other people? Being prepared.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
And yet, in a sense, the printing process involves a lot of preparation.
That's true. Oh, man, you got me.
We met, in fact, I asked you if you'd be on the podcast at the Codex exhibition.
Which I was not prepared for.
You were, well...
I was there.
yet you were. For instance, you had had... There's an aspect of the printmaking that I believe is called the lockdown.
Lock up.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
There's a locking involved.
Lockdown is prison. Lock up is printing.
Okay. And you had brought some examples of very interesting, because normally it's just a rectangle. You've got your text arranged like a text, and all those little pieces need to be locked in place so that when the printer runs over them, they don't move. You had an example of how you had used some wood cams to be able to lock print in place in a circular place.
Yeah, you're talking about, I came up with this set of furniture. Furniture is what we call the stuff we use to lock type in place. Mm-hmm. So I came up with this set called Daredevil Furniture so that you can set type in circles or on angles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way we're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's helping printers, instead of using the computer, use the type that they have and do sort of daredevil printing with it.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty bold.
Yeah,
that's bold.
Absolutely.
A little bold.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
But I was going to mention also, it seems pretty darn prepared.
You got me coming and going.
Wow.
I'm prepared to be bold.
You're prepared to be... Okay.
How about that?
Yeah. No, you're being so difficult, Jessica. We're just going to have to can this whole thing.
God.
No, I'm in no way...
with Prince Albert.
And I'm not telling you that you're wrong as far as what you think about yourself, because that's just crazy talk. But I'm saying it's interesting that I think, yeah, there's more of a dimension to that than perhaps you're being modest.
All right, we're going to move on.
All right.
To section 5 of the character sheet. This is your superpower. You'll see there are 5 superpowers. And we have 2 columns there. We're really going to focus on the first column to start with. That is the superpower that you think you have.
My family thinks that I have the opposite of time control. Like, I think infinite things can happen in an unrealistic amount of time. And it's really true what they say. Elemental control, I kind of like that because mm-hmm. Because letterpress printing is using lead, tin, and antimony,
yeah.
and controlling this right. amalgam.
And it's sort of magic like how you end up creating these things out of that.
Yeah, material. I like that one. Uh-huh. Telepathy? No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, mark down elemental control there. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
So am I? I'm saying I have it.
Yeah.
I feel a little bragging about that.
This is what this section is all about.
Okay.
Bragging.
Okay.
It's fine.
So do it. The next thing now is we're gonna have you roll the 4-sided die again.
Okay.
And you got a 4. And so if we number all the ones that are left from 1 to 4.
Okay. 0.
We're going to give you shapeshifter. You are also a shapeshifter. What okay. do you think you would do with that power if you were a shapeshifter?
If you could actually then split yourself into 2.
Oh, yes.
Okay, what would the yes. 2 use
in fact,
do?
I've thought about that.
Really?
Yes. In okay. the shop, that would be so helpful. So I would like maybe 5 of me in here. We would fight, but it'd be really helpful.
So is there like, would it be an even distribution or is there like scut work that you would definitely have this other you do?
Oh yeah. All day long. One of the me's would just be putting type away.
Uh-huh. Don't you think yeah. that you would be really pissed off?
I would let that person drink a lot and just, you know, not too drunk that they would be doing a bad job, but just enough that
they'd be okay with it.
Yeah, that would be so helpful. And maybe somebody else is doing a little cleaning up and cooking. Yeah. Oh, I like that suggestion. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. That's even better than time control. Yeah.
So you'd actually prefer that above time control?
Yes.
Multiple use?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Okay. A little while ago, Jessica gave us some dice.
She challenged us.
And she has challenged us.
Specifically.
To roll these dice. Now, tell us what the point... The dice have words instead of numbers. What is the idea?
Well, I was nervous when I knew you were coming and you were going to bring these dice with numbers because I have a number phobia. I do anything to avoid counting even, which as a printer is not a good thing. So I will print like way... a huge number of extras just to avoid the act of counting. So these dice have words on them. And my favorite word, of course, is no, which could also be on, depending mm-hmm. okay. on how, right?
Yeah.
So what I think would be fun is if you each rolled the dice and made a sentence with the word that comes up.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're rolling 1 dice apiece.
Yeah.
All right. Sean has the red die.
And your sentence has to have both words, and your sentence has to have both okay. words. Okay.
So on or no, and had.
See, now she's trying
to get I got to roll to see who goes first.
Okay.
Right?
All right. All right.
Okay, 4. That's the only thing I ever roll with that die.
It's a hard die to roll.
That means you go first, Jamie.
I go first. Okay.
Obviously, it's a 4.
Because...
How's it feel to be on the spot?
But see, for me, this is easy. It reminds me of a conversation. later I'll tell you about a conversation I had with Mari of if you have a good imagination, these type of questions like an aptitude tests are terrible. Because they want the most obvious thing, and you can come up with 57. Like right now, I'm thinking, on Thanksgiving, I had turkey.
That's good.
Yeah. Or,
I give that
no turkey was to be had on
B
Thanksgiving.
B minus. That's
I
better.
Just did okay, both.
B plus.
I put both that's possible. Yeah. No turkey was to be had on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I realize it's not a revealing thing unless it reveals that I'm sneaky. There are better answers. So, Sean, how are you going to show me up on your...
I had no idea what to say.
Oh snap.
Sean went meta.
He did have a little more time.
I did.
To be fair.
I did.
But still.
But Jamie was talking while he was thinking.
So, you know, one of the things we do is roll dice. Do you... And there's some luck involved in rolling dice and some luck perhaps involved in life. Do you believe in luck? Do you think you've
been lucky?
Absolutely. I feel like despite bad choices sometimes things have worked out well. Yeah, I think so. I feel like really lucky with the parents that I have. And siblings, my crazy sisters, and my husband and my son, and the best brown dog in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, the other lucky thing is moving to Tacoma, which we didn't know anything about it and ended up here, and it's been a really, really great move.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
there's a good art scene down
out.
Here, and this is like a beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah.
We just, you know, people want to know where they can see your work and find your work. So if you have something coming up, can you let us know? Can we put something on the...
Sure. I guess the next big thing is at Bainbridge Arts and Crafts. There's a book art show that opens up for the month of April. And Chandler's got work there. I do a lot of... Mari does a lot of local book artists, regional book artists. So that would be a great place. And then I have a website that features the brown dog prominently for
okay.
those who want to see him.
Okay.
Although you can't hear him snoring. But I guess you already have.
Well, what is the name of the website?
Springtidepress.com.
And can we buy your stuff somewhere?
I have links there to Etsy and then the Dead Feminist project that Chandler and I collaborate on. We have a website for that. That's deadfeminist.com.
Very uplifting name.
Yeah. Super cheerful.
How did you come up with that?
I think we just called it as we saw it. You know, we made rules about collecting quotes from women and they had to be dead. So
thanks for joining us as we
here I'll give you the dice, you can roll them.
I have to roll the words.
Come up with a
let's
sentence.
See
from the studio
from the studio this is the artist roll. And you've been listening to our interview with Jessica Spring. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed interviewing her.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at The Artist Rolls. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a positive review on iTunes.
And if you're a creator who's interested in being on the show, head on over to the Contact Us page on theartistrolls.com and tell us a little about yourself. Whatever your creative field is.
Ice sculptor.
Flash mob coordinator.
Australian actress, best known for her role as Galadriel in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Let it go, Jamie.
It's the internet, Sean. It could happen.
Well, whoever you are, we look forward to hearing from you. And thanks again for listening to The Artist Rolls.
Most
or
of
just
it.
I like this stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. then see, there's a section you're going to cut out because I was making a point and I was completely wrong with the thing that I was going to use.
See, I save your ass all the time.
You do. You do.
You said ass.